Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Kevin gave a thoroughly confusing report on the playoff picture and can't seem to grasp that if you win, you're in.
Most of the time.
Kevin then said that the Bengals and Cardinals are a bad flex game for Sunday night football.
I don't support the Bengals ever being in prime time. Actually, I take that back because Dalton is, what, 3-7 in prime time, so maybe it isn't so bad.
Okay.
After further review, I think they should be in prime time for the rest of the season.
And Kevin wants to Periscope the after show.
I think that would be big.
I want to say on the after show, you do some unbelievably good stuff.
You've said it's been the best part of my day.
It's, yeah. All right, coming up tomorrow, by the way, we will talk with Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Also, Zach Peerless with us tomorrow on the show. Covers Northwestern football. Sandy Barber, Dave Ennett, all on tomorrow's show. Henry Bushnell covers Northwestern as well. He does so for InsideNU.com. Hi, Henry. Welcome to the show. Great to have you with us for the first time.
Thanks for having me on, guys. How's it going?
Going well. What a year, 6-2. Certainly some peaks and valleys to the 6-2. It appears to me to be the most physical team up front I've seen from Northwestern since the glory years in the mid-90s with Darnell Autry and that group there. True?
Yeah, I would agree with that. One of the things that Pat Fitzgerald has done, you know, a recent trend over the last 5 years, is that he really has improved the recruiting here. I think this is the first year that you really are seeing that. On the defensive line, even in the linebacker group, Anthony Walker at middle linebacker, he's still young, he's still a sophomore, and he struggles with the mental side of the game, but he's a physical specimen, an incredible athlete. Especially on the defensive line and at the linebacker position, I think you really are seeing that this year.
Walker made his first career start at Penn State last year, and my broadcast partner, Jack Hamm, who appears to know something about the position, was incredibly impressed by him. What makes him a good linebacker to you?
Yeah, so right now it's just his pure athleticism is astounding. He's great making plays sideline to sideline from his middle linebacker position. The one thing he still does struggle with is sort of those keys in the run game and you know not getting himself blocked. And when the defensive line is better, he's a lot better. And I guess that's probably the way it is with many middle linebackers. But when he can see a hole and get into the backfield, he really does shoot that gap. He's a pleasure to watch.
Played awfully well. Tell us a little bit about Jackson, the tailback, who also was a freshman here last year and impressed all of us.
Yeah, he's having an up and down year, I'd say. High volume over the first 4 or 5 games of the season. And was still pretty good with that high volume. He struggled as of late, but I think more of that is to do with the offensive line, where there's been a lot of shuffling and some injuries. But Jackson is a player. He's a very shifty guy. He's very elusive, and he just kept this like innate ability to stay on his feet and just to see a defender and at the last moment just shift a couple inches to the side and not get hit by him clean. The one thing he doesn't have is breakaway speed. Which has showed itself sometime this year. He's the guy who's going to turn no gain into a 5 or 10 yard run. He's not the guy who's going to turn a 5 yard run into a 50 yard run.
Right. Clayton Thorson wins the job at quarterback. What has impressed you about him? what has held him back?
So one of the things with Thorson that we've been trying to figure out is just how much of – so he hasn't been great. If we're judging him as a freshman, he's been pretty good. But if, just judging him as a starting quarterback, he hasn't been great. The thing, though, is that he really doesn't have much around him. He's got some decent running backs, but this receiver group has been really poor, and the offensive line has been really shaky. So over the past couple weeks, while maybe his stats haven't improved, aside from last week, he really has shown more poise, and he's been able to read the game better. That's just part of the progression that comes with being a redshirt freshman. It's his first collegiate football action. So the mental side of the game for him is really something that's progressed. He has a big arm, and he can certainly make plays with his feet. But the thing that he still has to get is making those reads, not staring down receivers, and that kind of stuff.
You talked about making plays with his feet. How much is done design, and how much is it just him improvising?
So last week, he had two big plays in the running game, one 60-plus yarder, one 40-plus yarder. And those were both scrambles. Those were not design runs. That said, they have run some design runs for him. His big touchdown in the season opening upset of Stanford was a design quarterback draw on third down. And they have run some read option, but haven't been too successful with it.
Did that against Duke, I believe, more than anything else.
And they've also tried some speed option, which has just not been successful. And Thorson doesn't look comfortable yet, understanding when to pitch, when to keep, and the speed option. He pitches too quickly. So that hasn't really been a weapon, but he certainly can be dangerous on quarterback draws and in the read option.
How much has the secondary been hurt by the absence of Matthew Harrison? It doesn't sound like he's coming back anytime soon.
Well, he actually is coming back.
Oh,
I just got out of Pat Fitzgerald's weekly press conference, and he said he expects Harris to play, which will be huge for this team. Yeah, so, as you said, so Harris took a knee to the helmet against Michigan, fractured bones in his face.
Ooh.
And so we were expecting him to be out for longer than this, and it really was. So when they have both Harris and Nick Van Hoost, who's the corner on the other side, they can play a lot of press man coverage, and that really opens things up for the rest of the defense. Without Harris in there and with backups in there, that wasn't really an option for them. But assuming Harris will be at full strength when he comes back, I would assume that he will be. It's a huge boost for this defense.
Yeah, it sure is. You're talking about 11 combined interceptions between Van Hoos and Harris. Harris has 5 of those 11. That makes a big difference for what they want to do in terms of turning guys loose defensively.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, and that, when you have that, that frees up the safeties, Godwin Igbuluke and Travion Henry, to come up and make plays in the run game. That'll be a huge help against the Penn State offense. It's been pretty good.
Yeah. You mentioned injuries in the offensive line. Did Pat give any indication that the bye week helped heal them up there?
So there was one negative piece of news that Adam DiPietro, who was injured in week 2, has had surgery, and he's out for the year. So he will not be coming back.
Right.
Other than that, I guess they're fairly healthy there right now. The bye week probably was good to get, not necessarily anybody that would have missed this game, but guys that were sort of struggling, maybe slowed down a bit by knocks and stuff. That could be good. But the other thing is that this offensive line has never really been too good, I'm just not sure they have the talent to go up against the Penn State defensive line that, just could absolutely wreak havoc on Saturday.
Okay. It's billed as Chicago's Big Ten team, and if I'm doing the marketing for Northwestern football and basketball, I too would refer to it as Chicago's Big Ten team.
Yep.
But are they embraced by Chicago?
More so than they were before. But as with most marketing slogans, you try to market yourself as something that you're not. There is more interest in the program now in Chicago than there was, 5-10 years ago.
Right.
Ticket sales are way up for both football and basketball.
Right.
But that said, it's still not really, it's not technically in Chicago, and there are probably still more Illinois alums and even Michigan or Iowa alums in Chicago.
Hey, I want to get to one guy in your defensive front there, Dean Lowry.
Yep.
When we watch him, what makes him a special player?
Yeah, he's just a really he's an underrated athlete. You know, I think a lot of people think of Dean Lowry and they see, you know, like a really tough guy, really hard worker. But he's a legitimate 6'5 or 6'6 probably, and really strong, and a great leaper. He has said in the past that he models his game after J.J. Watt, and obviously he's not J.J. Watt, but I think that's actually an interesting comparison. I could see him as a fringe, like, 3-4 defensive end in the NFL. He plays the 4-3 end here, but he also plays inside sometimes in pass rushing situations. He's a two-way player. He plays it both in the run game and in the pass game. Really just a complete player. Not perfect, but he was great last weekend against Nebraska.
All right. So what do you think about this game? What's your initial thought on it going into it in terms of how competitive between the two?
Yeah, I'm really conflicted. I think Penn State has more talent than Northwestern. And we've seen with Pat Fitzgerald that teams that they play against regularly, and I think this is Fitz's fourth or fifth time, one of those two, playing against James Franklin now, that the teams start to adjust to what Northwestern does and they can take advantage of it. The reason I think I'm going to pick Northwestern is because I'm not sure I trust Franklin to adjust to that. And Fitz has had a good record against Franklin. I believe he's undefeated against them. So I think in terms of a score prediction right now, I think it's going to be close. I'd go Northwestern 19, Penn State 7.
Okay. Appreciate it very much, Henry.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me on.
Great having you on the show. Appreciate it a lot. Henry Bushnell, InsideNU.com. Thanks to him for being on the show. And tomorrow we'll have more on the game and Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report tomorrow as well. Sandy Barber will be on the show tomorrow. And don't forget, Kevin will be periscoping something before the game and some periscope thing at halftime.
No, we don't do halftime. We do before the game, though. We'll be doing that.
I thought you did something with the car.
Well, no, I'm doing. I'll periscope the Lincoln tonight.
Oh, it's tonight.
Right. Yeah. Now, if you're referring to the debut of what we'll be talking about next week, that'll happen sometime during the game tomorrow night.
Well, that's what I was trying to.
Oh, no, no, no. That's on the broadcast. That's not a periscope. Come on, man. If you followed me on Twitter, you'd be able to understand this.
You would be stunned not following you on Twitter what inner peace means. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com, proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. 800-795-9565. Kevin took the time to give us the complete rundown on the playoff picture. It was long, had some information in it, but considered by many to be laborious.
It takes a little bit of numerology to try and figure it out sometimes.
You win, you're in. Look, just play teams in your own division. You're done.
See, but the problem with that, Steve, is if it's simplified that much, then guys like me don't have anything to do on week 10 on Friday night except call a game. And then, you know, you don't have that full effect.
Yeah, okay, sure.
You know, it's kind of like fine. Trying to figure out who gets that last wild card spot in the NFL.
You win, you're in. All right. Some teams lose. Got a shot.
Coming up in the after show, Steve Jones will simplify the tax plan for you.
No, we can't do that because when the only thing you know how to do is to add more and don't really know how to balance anything. No. Remember, a spending cut is when we were originally supposed to add 10% and we only added 5%. You still increased it 5%, but it's a spending cut. Stop using language and acting like you're smarter than everybody else. All right. That's our hint of the day.
This has been a public service message.
From the common sense cause. I mean, you know, take yesterday, for example. We opened up the lines. We said, what would you like to see improved in Beaver Stadium? All right. Hey, that's listening to people. Hey, don't talk down to them. Listen to them. Right? Government talks to them. Well, you don't seem to know. No, I seem to know. I can read numbers. All right. You know, not everybody's stupid. All right, 800-795-9565 is the number if you'd like to jump in. Love to hear from you. To let you know, there's always a major tip-off when CBS goes away from Thursday Night Football and NFL Network takes over the Thursday Night Football package. The Cleveland Browns suddenly appear. Every NFL team, you know, is guaranteed one primetime exposure. So between Monday night, Thursday night, and Sunday night, everybody gets one. Tonight, it's Cleveland's turn. Remember last year Tennessee played Jacksonville? That's how they got them both out of the way early. Patrick Kane is not going to be prosecuted. There have been an accusation of rape. It is not going to happen. The case has been dropped. There are big games coming up in college football this weekend. Part of that weeding out process is about to happen in college football with the college football playoff. The first four in the first poll, it means nothing. It doesn't really matter that Clemson's one, LSU's two, Ohio State's three, and Alabama's four. That doesn't really mean anything. It is always in flux. Now, tonight you've got Baylor undefeated playing at Kansas State. Kansas State's 3-4. I know Baylor's starting a new quarterback tonight because Seth Russell's out for the year. And you got 20th-ranked Mississippi State playing at Missouri. That's the 9 o'clock game. The first game, I mentioned Baylor-Kansas State. That is on Fox Sports 1 tonight, 7:30. And the Mississippi State-Missouri game's on at 9 on ESPN. But then, coming up tomorrow, Temple's at SMU. And then noon games, Vanderbilt's at Florida. Notre Dame's at Pitt at noon. Stanford's at Colorado at 1. At 3:30, Florida State's at Clemson. So here's a big one in the weeding out process. Arkansas's at Ole Miss at 3:30. Iowa's at Indiana at 3:30. Iowa's undefeated. Rutgers is at Michigan. That's at 3:30 on Big Ten Network. 3:30 on Fox. Here's a big weeding out game. TCU is at Oklahoma State. 2 8-0 teams head-to-head in Stillwater. 3:30 on ESPN2. Cincinnati's at Houston. Houston's undefeated. 4:30 on Saturday on the Pac-12 Network, UCLA's at Oregon State. 7 o'clock, ESPN2. Navy 6-1, you know. They play at Memphis. That should be a very good game if you want to pick up that game. 7 o'clock, Iowa State's at Oklahoma. Also, Michigan State 8-0 at Nebraska at 7. Utah's at Washington on Fox at 7:30. Auburn's at Texas A&M at 7:30 on the SEC Network. Minnesota's at Ohio State on ABC. And then there's this one on CBS, 8 o'clock Saturday night, LSU at Alabama. There are big weeding out games coming up this weekend. LSU, Alabama, Florida State against Clemson, Oklahoma State in action taking on TCU. So you have two of the top four head-to-head. You got number one playing maybe the best team left in its schedule. And you have two undefeated teams head-to-head. Big weekend. But when they put this college football playoff idea together, this is what they were hoping for. They were hoping to get games with stakes and meaning as the month goes. I mean, just look at the Big Ten. You know, Michigan still has to play Penn State. Michigan State has to play Ohio State. Ohio State has to play Michigan. Penn State has to play Michigan State.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. Our thanks to Henry Bushnell, InsideNUSports.com, who joined us in the previous half hour. And to Steve Williams, Matt Catrillo, Kevin Herb, and Pat O'Brien for the high school football previews in our 3:30 half hour. If you missed anything, check it out on the Steve Jones Show podcast. Nice, quick, and easy. Kevin on the air with the Chief, Dave Ritchie, tomorrow night at 6:30. 7 o'clock kick as Shikellamie plays at Milton tomorrow night. Kevin's revved up, set to go. All the playoff scenarios are set. Shikellamie will be the number 3 seed. Doesn't really matter what else happens, right?
Yeah, Triple A is locked in. You know what the best part?
There's joy in the valley over there. Really.
Do you know what the best part of this week is in high school football, Week 10? It's not freezing out tonight or tomorrow night.
No kidding.
I really like that because that never happens.
76 degrees, no need for hot chocolate, no need for halushki.
Well, there's always a need for halushki. It doesn't matter what the temperature is outside.
I have no idea what halushki is, but that's okay.
You must try it. You have to try it somewhere along the line.
Okay.
It's a mix of noodles, cabbage. Sometimes there's potatoes and ham in it.
So should I take in a game at Shikellamie sometime, or should I just go on the road and watch Shikellamie play?
I don't know. It depends. Home games are good because there's a great crowd. It's always a very active and loud crowd. Road games, depending on the stadium, can be fun to watch. I don't think it matters.
They may have a playoff game next week with Jersey Shore, for example. You know, and
that would be almost like a home game for you.
And the anti-Kevin Hurst signs could be potentially entertaining.
I don't know where those signs are. I've never seen those signs.
You ripped those people to shreds last year.
Did not.
Going into the game, like no cachet, no history. They always, you know, every other year, blah, blah, blah. You know,
it was actually a compliment because
it's actually kind of mean.
It's not the way it was.
They seem to take it the way I did. A lot of people up there say to me, so what's his deal? I said, I don't know. I said, he's kind of a bitter guy.
I was up there earlier this year. There was no angry mob. I was actually talked to by several people from the Jersey Shore fan base, and the athletic director up there was fine.
Going in with a blonde wig and a mustache,
As a matter of fact, we were the only station there, and the athletic director said, hey, can I promote the game so that our fans know where to listen. So, you know, it was, I did not feel that. I did not feel the anger there that you keep talking about.
I went to their message board after the broadcast. Wow. No, I'm just kidding.
Listen, the hatekevinher.com was not put up for that reason. That's a different website. Somebody else did that.
Yeah, you're a kid. All right.
You don't hear me denying it, do you?
No, I don't. No. All right. So we ran down what's happening in college football, and the game Cleveland and Cincinnati is tonight. It's a prime time game tonight. So you go to, like, this could be Andy's fourth win in primetime. It's a primetime game.
Right? Or his eighth loss.
Could be.
I think we know which way I'll be rooting tonight.
You'll be rooting for Johnny Manziel, your guy.
No, I no, no.
Well, if you're going to root for Cleveland.
No, I'm not. No. I'm not. No, I mean, I'm not rooting for Manziel to have a good game. I don't really care about Manziel. It doesn't bother me. I want to see Cleveland win this game for obvious reasons, but not. I'm not rooting for Manziel.
They're not going to win it if he goes 8-for-32.
Well, you don't know. The defense, this may be a 3-0 game, and the Cleveland field goal, because they got a turnover inside the red zone, and Manziel couldn't throw a touchdown pass, so they kick a field goal to win it. You don't know. You got to wait and see how the game goes. You know, each game has its own ebb and flow, Steve. You can't predict it.
I've tried to tell you that for years, but, you know.
Now I'm buying into it, and now you're mad.
I'm not mad. I'm not mad at all. I'm just saying that for you to win this thing, you know, that the way you want it to go, your guy Manziel's going to probably have to make a play or two.
That's going to be a reach. I still don't think he's an NFL quarterback.
I'm just telling you, this another conflicted night for you, like fantasy football, like putting Derek Carr on your fantasy team. Was that smart?
No, that did not happen ever.
I don't know how you guys, all the conflicts you guys have.
You know, this is a conflicting game though, because it's hard to root for Cleveland. And you can't, Cincinnati, if you're a Steeler fan, Cincinnati can't win this game. It is kind of tough. If you could have a scoreless tie, that might be the best thing to hope for.
Former NFL referee on CBSSports.com calls the NFL punishment of officials arbitrary and a fast PR fix. Find this to be interesting. This was Scott Green, who at one point, by the way, was the head of the National Football League Referees Association, says reassigning officials who make mistakes during games is a public relations move, according to him. Look, I understand completely that referees make mistakes. Completely understand that. But there are certain mistakes that swing games and are misses. The block in the back, for example, on the Miami kickoff return is a blatant miss. The communication about whether the knee was on the ground is a blatant miss. Now, that's a college game, obviously. You're telling me that, for example, in the Penn State game, when in the open court, Jordan Dickerson's hauled down by Jake Lehman and the foul's on Dickerson, when Lehman hooked his arm and threw him and like hooked him to the ground, and you know, and Dickerson's just like, what? And they called the foul on Dickerson. Now, by the way, Kelly Pfeiffer is a fine young official. I think Kelly's going to be a good official that's going to get himself to the NCAA tournament because I've liked what I've watched from him for 2 years. So this is nothing against him. But that's a blatant mistake, and my assumption on that play is that Kelly saw it out of the corner of his eye and thought that's what happened, that Dickerson had set a screen and they went down when it wasn't. I mean, that's one of those where you look at him and say, look, Kelly, as an example, okay, what did you see? You can only call what you see. The NFL's reassigned officials. Officiating comes up all the time. Some crews have higher incidence of penalty calls versus others. Players make mistakes in games. Ben Roethlisberger made three of them in his game on Sunday. And two of them were not good. So he made mistakes. There's no question others made mistakes. Receivers run the wrong routes. Running backs failed to get to the spot they're supposed to be in pass protection. Defensive players blow an assignment. Oh, you mean I'm supposed to have deep help? Really? Okay. Coaches make mistakes. Minnesota, Michigan. Hey, when the ball's set, the clock will start. You should not run a play which brings with it a huge shift that takes time. Hey, either go to the line, run a play, or spike the ball, stop the clock, then you can run your play that has the shift. So coaches make mistakes. Officials make mistakes. We saw in the Ohio State last year, two big mistakes. The Von Bell interception should not have been. It was ruled incorrectly on the field, and then they had a malfunction upstairs. All right. And then everybody lost track of the play clock on the field goal, where if it had been called properly, it would have been a 5-yard penalty, and Urban Meyer probably would have punted because it would have been a 54-yard attempt for somebody who had never attempted a kick over 50 yards before. Now, everybody missed that, by the way, including the play-by-play announcer who's speaking now. I didn't notice it until I was told about it after the game. So even I didn't notice it, and I usually do look at the play clock. So everybody makes mistakes. And sometimes there are tricky rules out there. Should officials be suspended? Well, or reassigned? At times, yes, I think they should be if the mistakes are swinging games one way or the other. You have to demand the highest standard. My issue that I would have with Scott Green would be this. Okay. Calls are made that do determine outcomes of games. I know that they are doing and working as hard as they can along the way, but they also cannot be protected sacred cows all the time. I do know they are hard on them in reviews. This is something where I think the fans, I saw Rick Boyajis, who's the head of Big Ten officiating. I saw Rick on, Thursday? I saw Rick Tuesday night. Rick was here in State College Tuesday night. He was with Pete Gillen, as a matter of fact. And a great talk with both of them. They were both at Penn State's basketball practice on Tuesday night. And we've had Rick on the show before, and I personally like Rick. And I personally like Bill Carollo, who is in charge of football officiating. Okay? The fans get very upset about officials. The fans think it's biased toward certain teams in the conference. Oh, in basketball, Indiana gets all the calls. In football, Michigan and Ohio State get all the calls. Okay. All right. But there is a reality. Bill Carollo and Rick Boyajis, and I have talked about this with them privately, and I've talked about them when I've had them each on the show, are very tough in their grading on officials. Very tough. because they don't want to be in the middle of something like this. They don't want to be in the middle of something that's controversial. And, you know, and people don't believe that. I absolutely believe that. And the reason I absolutely believe that is that I've talked to the guys in charge. I could, you know, when I've talked with Bill Carollo, when I've talked to him on several occasions, when I've talked to Rick Boyajis on several occasions, okay, they're very honest and direct. You know, Bill's told me when he thought it something was a good call or a bad call, or something where he said to me, he says, Steve, I probably, he said, if that was me, I probably wouldn't have called that. He's talked to me about rules changes he'd like to see. Same thing with Rick. And I know people don't believe that, but when I hear a lot of complaining about officials all the time, and believe me, I hear a lot of it. I mean, when you do the hoops club luncheons and you do the bat and you do the football club, the quarterback club luncheons, you usually hear the obligatory questions about the officials and so forth. Okay, I got it. But I respect the job they do. It doesn't mean they get everything right. Now, here's something I do agree with Scott Green as to what he said about the NFL. He said, instead of rhetoric about how singling out officials or strong-arm them as a group to accept more discipline will fix problems, I respectfully suggest the NFL take the time to evaluate how its officiating department is administered. Let's strengthen the system for evaluations and training. And on the rare occasion that its prize command center can catch and correct a mistake of significance, I'm sure the men and women on the field supervising the organized chaos that is occurring on the NFL game day would greatly appreciate a friendly call. I agree with that. Officiating's hard. These guys aren't making buckets of money. They're not backing up a truck of cash from the conference or the league saying, hey, here you go, officiate the game. They're the lowest paid guys in the field. Obviously not in a college game, but I'm saying in an NFL game, they're the lowest paid guys out there, except for the guys on the chain gang. They've got big responsibility. Now, the college has gone to an eighth official, the center back, or the center judge. So, I mean, college has eight this year. But at the same time, if a blatant mistake is made, and it's just a blatant mistake, out of position, guessed instead of knowing, that's something you've got to, as a disciplinary action, have to at least consider. Because that's a blatant, it's not just a blatant mistake, but it's also goes against everything that you want in your official. I mean, in other words, tell me what you saw, and if that's what you thought you saw, okay, I'm with you. If you guessed, now you've broken a cardinal rule. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, welcome back. I was talking to Rick Boyajis the other day when he was here, head of a Big Ten basketball officiating. He says, you guys never referee the game. I said, well, Rick, if we think it's a bad call, we say it's a bad call, but we go to the next play. And he goes, well, yeah. He says that's to be expected. He said, but that's what I like. You guys just go to the next play. And I explained to him, I said, first of all, I said, there's no malice in what we do. And I said, this is an attitude that Jack Ham and the Steelers always had, and Jack's always talked to me about that you're going to have a bad call go against you, and you just got to go to the next play. I said, well, our theory is we just start broadcasting the next play. You don't dwell on it. I said, you say what you think it is and go, you know, I think they missed that one, and you move on. Then the flip side, I said, we think they made a good call. We'll say, look, they made a good call. And he said, yep, that's what we like about it. You know, and that's, and that, and by taking that approach, right, that's why when something comes up, you can call the conference office and they return your call. Because they know what your approach is. tomorrow night, you'll listen to Kevin and the Chief. They'll officiate the game for you on the air as well as calling it. We're looking forward to it.
We've been known to. No. sometimes we try and understand what the call is. And we had one of those on Friday night. We just weren't, just didn't quite understand what the call was. So we kind of give what we thought happened and, you know, kind of hope we're close. Because there was an interesting situation where targeting was called. And right. I think the official gave the personal foul signal, which it really wasn't. It was just a leading with the head, but did the same signal and went personal foul because there was no ejection. But the interesting part was it was actually one Danville player who actually hit another Danville player. We didn't realize that was a penalty. So sometimes it's kind of tough to describe. And you do the best you can with it.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, whether the call was right or wrong, I don't know. And that's what we said. I didn't know you could target, you get called for your own player, but that's what happened.
Normally, it leads to a suspension.
It normally does lead to an ejection in high school, but there was none. And the reason I found out afterwards was it was just a helmet contact foul, not a targeting foul, which carries the automatic ejection in high school as well.
Ooh, what a relief.
But again, that's, you know, like you said, it's you come out and say what you see and what you believe and then hope to find out later. And we got an explanation.
Hey, go on. And there are times, like, for example, if we can't do this in football, but in basketball, I'll call an official over and say, hey, Mike, what was the call?
I've done that.
I'll go, hey,
yep.
I'm like, thanks, Mike. No problem.
Yep, we've done that many times because with Dave's coaching career in girls basketball, he has a lot of relationships as well.
Yep.